I kept it real as a true professional myself.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Oh, man, Dana said he kept it real, Dana Brown. Keeping it real, Dana Brown.
Like a true professional.
I'm telling you, baby, I kept it real. Your ass just ain't no good.
I'm on myself.
I believe that. Like, I want to help real. You kept it, Dana. All right. Welcome back into The Drive as we'll have some fun. A lot to get to throughout the rest of the show here till 6 o'clock. Flint, this is starting to come about. And I can't wait to get everybody's thoughts on this. 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, jump in here. There are reports out here. As we know, Bobby Slowick, Clint, they parted ways with him. They're in search for a new offensive coordinator. And now reports are starting to spill out, Clint, about the relationship with Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud. Like, I can understand, like, hey, man, you're Bobby Slowick. 2 years you've been on the job. 1 year really, really good. The next year not as good. Still made it to the playoffs. One thing that could quickly get you on the outs is if you have a mix-up or there's an issue with you and the most important person in the organization. And right now, 1A, 1B, it's C.J. Stroud. Him and D'Amico, the two most important people in the organization.
Stroud House.
And now we're getting reports indicating that there were some issues there. This is a report coming Texans offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud, according to reports, had a heated argument during the pre-draft process, Clint, creating tensions that contributed to Slowick's firing this offseason. Also, Texans quarterback and former Texans offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick reportedly got into an altercation that showed that these two reportedly had to be separated during Stroud's pre-draft visit in Houston.
Oh, my God!
Per ESPN 97.5, Stroud apparently told other teams his meeting with the Texans was, quote, terrible.
Oh, no.
Well, wow. Well,
wow.
Your thoughts, everybody, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Your thoughts on that, Clint? Your thoughts on hearing this? And again, these are reports. This is alleged. There is nothing that you know, obviously that CJ or Bobby have confirmed. But your thoughts when you hear that?
Yeah, look, it makes things make more sense for me. And I'm talking, it starts with football stuff. Like it's when you see a team that week 8 and 9 are still talking about how long and how fluid the situation is of discovering your identity. There's probably at some level of a tug of war in the building. When you have a quarterback and a play caller that just refuse to protect yourself, the quarterback, and refuse to respond to all the pressures that the quarterback's getting by changing your style and doing something different, that screams there's a tug of war in the building. When you see Dalton Schultz in week 4 or 5, whenever they played the Minnesota Vikings, clearly him and Cade Stover clearly have zero business blocking true edge players in the NFL. When you see that same issue pop up in a playoff game, not once but multiple times in the most important drive of the season, clearly there's some level of a tug of war in the building going on. And so, to me, that makes a lot of the football stuff that I watch this year that's so frustrating, that makes a lot of that make sense. The fact that the quarterback went out there and a lot of the times is just completely disregarding the fact that his offensive line is struggling and is looking at mid-range to deep-range concepts constantly and holding the football, that screams that guys aren't on the same page. No question about it. We talked about it multiple times. They got a lot of dudes over there in that building, Ron. lot of consultants. Bill Lazor, I don't know what his position is. I forget what his title is. I would say a consultant that's called plays in the league, been an OC in the league. Obviously, Gerard Johnson, who's been a quarterback in the league and played a lot of football, knows the game well. There's a lot of people in that building over there. It is mind-boggling how bad they were in protection. And I'm not even talking about the mechanics and techniques of protecting. I'm talking about just the ability to go to the line of scrimmage and get a hat on a hat.
Dang it, Bobby.
You know, the ability to go to the line of scrimmage and say, hey, CJ, all these guys that are roaming around over to your left, we got them. You check the guy to the right. If he doesn't come, we got you. We got you protected. Like the very basic protection stuff was blown consistently this year and was made very, 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 very difficult. That to me screams that there's some level of tug of war in the building. And that makes a lot of that football stuff that I watched all year long, that would make a lot of it make sense for me, Ron.
Tyler, and I see a lot of people coming in. That's BS. Why are we just now hearing this? If it was a bigger issue, Bobby would have been out of here. I guess it makes sense to why CJ thought the Texans didn't like him on draft day. Shocked, but where there's smoke, there's fire from Clarence Smith on YouTube and Twitch. Tyler, I hear everything Clint is saying. And I think regardless of this report, it looked like there was some people on different pages, right? It looked like by what we saw, but this don't sound nothing like Bobby Slowey. Like we in the reports, it's right. He cussed him smooth out, stood up in the meeting, cussed him, not when he was a member of the Texans. Prior, hell, Bobby just got this job.
He was a candidate.
Bobby just got the job. Had never called a play. Coming from Kyle Shanahan and that crew, and he stood up and told, "No, shut the F up. This is what we do in the NFL.
Yeah.
This ain't Ohio State no more." Like everything you're saying, hell, we didn't need this to come out to see that there was something. Somebody was off. All things we saw a complete shift from last year. Never got. I get that. I'm sorry. There is no possible way in hell that would have happened, and we're just now finding out about it after his firing.
Speculate.
That just too many people knew about it. Too many people. The report is saying that he went to the next teams and told them it went terrible, and we wouldn't have heard that. We wouldn't have heard. And I will say this also. If Bobby Slowick had the balls, the nuts, to do that on his first day on the job. He'd been there 5 minutes. He had the nerve to do that to the potential franchise that they hadn't even drafted yet. I think we would have seen signs of Bobby Slowick doing some stuff like that in the last 2 years. Have you ever seen Bobby Slowick look like he was even going to flinch to cuss somebody out?
Yeah, I'm following everything you're putting down right now. It's hard for me to...
I'm not saying that the relationship wasn't as peachy keen as maybe they made it seem. I just, like, this just don't even... Like, man, first thing D'Amico going to do is bring somebody in here to cuss out the potential franchise quarterback before we even get his ass.
We don't like that.
Right? Like, I'm sorry, Clint. You've been around the league knowing how things are held. I just don't know how that one would be held down. That we would not, we have never, especially once he eventually got drafted to the Texans, that we would have never heard that, or especially when things started to go up and down this year, we wouldn't have heard any of this. We just now hearing it after he gets fired.
It's hard for me to believe. Doesn't mean it didn't happen. Doesn't mean it's not right, true. We don't know.
Yeah,
but it is very damn hard to believe or to even imagine Bobby Slowick acting in that sort of manner. That big of a personality. That's kind of hard for me to wrap my mind around. Given all the access we had to Bobby Slowick, whether it be pressers, post game, pre game, otherwise. That's a tough one for me to imagine.
It's like this for me, Clint. Like, hey, man, we got a report out here that Sean Payton just undressed Clint Sterner in front of everybody the way he did Russell Wilson. And Clint Sterner just kept on going about his business about it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, like everything that I have seen and we have seen of Clint Sterner doesn't make you feel that he would just let, as Bruce Coslett found out, he would just let he would just let a coach just undressing. Just like it don't even like we would see that. I think clearly there was issues, and I would even go out on the limb to say clearly the relationship maybe got to a space where they felt like Bobby doesn't work here. Bobby, on his one of his first things at the combine, told CJ to shut the F up. That's not how we do it in the NFL. This ain't Ohio State. That's just not a golf club, I believe, that Bobby's got in his bag.
Yeah, the PFF guy.
Yeah, look, I don't know Bobby. I don't know. I've not been around Bobby enough to know him or not. But that part of the story may very well be embellished, and it may be lesser than. I don't think it's out of the norm for a coach in that setting to be like, man, we don't give a damn what y'all did at Ohio State, man. This is what we're talking about.
You've run into that?
Oh, yeah. No, I've not personally. I didn't go to the combine. I've not personally. You know, I've not personally experienced, you know, the communications with a coach where I refer to what we did at Arkansas. Like, I don't know. Now, I've heard coaches in communication in a way of like, man, nobody gives a damn what you got away with in college or what you did in college. It's the NFL. What the hell are you talking about? Like, I've heard that. And so that part of the story may be embellished. Hell, it may not be true. I don't know. But it's... to me, that makes a lot more sense, and it makes it easier for me to connect dots with what I watched this year from a football, from a product standpoint, than just Bobby ain't got it. Bobby don't know what he's doing.
No, I like the point that you made off of it of there was clearly some tug of war of something, right? Like, I mean, you just like it was just like to hell with whatever happened the previous year. We just like. We're not doing that. And the closest that I ever saw Bobby seem ticked off, I sent the video to you, was all the way in the playoff game against the Chargers when he tried to throw that pick to Derwin James. And he got over to the bench and he looked like it was more than a hey, like, hey man, we'll get him next time. No.
And that clip you're referring to that you sent to Clint and I about when Bobby got mad on the sideline with that throw. At least from everything I read and saw, body language otherwise on that video of Bobby Slowick, it would not have sniffed what this report says that he did behind closed doors.
And look, I'm going to tell you
something. I mean, he looked mad, but he didn't look like he was about to knock somebody's head off.
And let me tell you something. If C.J. Stroud was undressed the way that this thing says that he was, like, yeah, maybe C.J. ain't going to come out and just let us all know about it. But damn it, there ain't no way in hell somebody gonna ever undress me like that. And then I come back and at any point you hear me just talk about how great he is. And we heard CJ many a times really give praise to Bobby Slowick. Not upon my first meeting. Now I may have to work with you. Not upon our first introduction is a cuss out. Because I said, hey, this is a play that we used to run in Ohio State, and it's called this, and you done just lost your mind. Bobby's hair too good for him to go off on. That long-ass hat, that brim hat.
Freaking Smalls hat. Smalls from the Sandlot.
Like, I'm just sitting there thinking, like, all right, man, D'Amico and Bobby, they in this office together, and my boy Bobby just goes rogue, man. It just goes off.
Yeah, I can't imagine it.
And D'Amico's like, yeah, man, so what? Hey, you heard him? That's not what we gonna do.
It would be a very interesting approach to especially when you've got a top two pick. And what ended up being two of the top three picks in that draft, and you know you're taking a quarterback. That would be a very interesting approach to interviewing that guy.
Look, as Tyler said, I ain't saying it didn't happen. I'm just not believing it until somebody gives me some damn proof that it happened.
Yeah,
that happened. Because if that happened, then I take back everything I just said about Eric Bieniemy in the last segment. because if that happened, then Eric Bieniemy is more down their road than maybe I would have thought. And I did, and I just
around the edges.
I just don't think.
Yeah, that. Look, Lance Zierlein is an NFL draft analyst for NFL.com, and has been doing it for a long time. He's really good at his job. So there's parts of the story that whether they've been embellished or not, I don't think they came out of thin air. Like I think there's pretty credible reports that C.J. Stroud didn't get along with or didn't communicate with the offensive coordinator at Ohio State. He went directly to Ryan Day, and that's how he got his work done there. That's interesting. That's odd. That seems a little bit out of the ordinary, and definitely not all hands on deck. Let's go get this win kind of deal. And then obviously the draft meeting with Bobby. That went south, and then this year's to me, Ron, the resistance, and I said it all year long, like the resistance to change with this group when you got all of those minds in the same building blows my mind, like blew my mind all year long. Like, what in the world is going on here?
No, that part, yeah, that part, hell yeah. Clearly something, and we clearly see that the Texans felt something had to be done because they went ahead and moved on from it. They made a move and broke that up.
Well, two, and moving on from it, and now, like, with knowing that, like a Gerard Johnson hire from inside the building, to me, is more likely.
Could be. Yeah, this ain't me coming at Lance. Somebody told Lance this, and I'm sure Lance trusts his reports. It just... Like, you're telling me that just don't make no sense. Like that, I just ain't ever seen anything like that, ever. Your first day, like one of your first things on the job, they ain't seen that one. All right, the Texans, they got clearly for them, the offseason has started. They got a lot of work to do, and they got a lot of decisions to make on guys. We're going to discuss some of those decisions coming up.
Fellas, good to be here.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Hey, just to let you know, next week, we're going to try to bring you, not going to try, let me tell you, we are going to bring you the best coverage of the big game coming up, as we will be there all week long, live from New Orleans on Radio Row, with our great friends of Yingling, as I don't know where I was going, as Yingling will help us have a good time down there and bring you the best coverage of the big game, as well as the great people at Low T Center, Exclusive Furniture, Mo Karam Injury Lawyers. They will help us bring you the best coverage of the big game coming up next week. We'll be there all week long, and it will be a really, really great time. All kinds of guests, all kinds of stories. Check us out on social all over the place. You get to see the backstory and see many things as we cover the big game coming up on next Sunday between the Chiefs and the Eagles. It will be a lot of fun, and we will hope to bring everything we can for you, New Orleans, and have a good time. All right, I know for me personally, I've learned through my first year on Radio Row last year, and I feel like the experience will really help me be able to bring it even more than we did last year. And I'll be in a better spot. And there's not a daiquiri machine right by the hotel elevator that will get me in trouble. So hang out with us next week. It'll be...
I'm going to stop the minute we cross the Louisiana line. Ain't no machine, but there's a drive-thru, cuz. I'll have him breaking that promise in a matter of minutes, boys.
That's a real damn... What a peer pressure jerk you are. All right, the Texans, they got some work to do this offseason, Clint, and here are the decisions they have to make, right? Steph Diggs, it was a one-year deal. If you remember, they converted it to a one-year deal, so they've got a decision to make there. I believe he will be 31 coming off an ACL. Mario Edwards Jr., another one they'll have to make a decision on, who had a really good season outside of the time he had to miss due to suspension. Derek Barnett has been really good as a secondary pass rusher for this team the last couple of years. Eric Murray, Eric Murray was somebody who's just, and I would say I was a part of it just due to my visuals of Eric Murray in his previous stop before Houston. He's gotten it a lot from his first year when I think he struggled, but after that first year, he has been really a solid player for this team. Of all the safeties, it feels like you can depend on him health-wise, and he's been pretty good.
Had a strong postseason.
And he had a good solid end to the season, too. He had that crazy pick against Jacksonville. So he's a decision you got to make. Robert Woods, I guess, is a decision you got to make as well. Felt like that decision could have been made last year. But Robert Woods, Foley Fatakasi, who was pretty good. John Weeks, we already know the decision will be made there. And then some other guys in the secondary as well. When you're looking at this, are there any guys that jump out to you, listeners, everybody, Clint, any guys that jump out to you as priority, guys that the Texans need to really look and take care of?
Yeah, look, I chalked it up to two different categories, and the first one is who are the guys on this list? Now, to be clear, there's more on this list than what I put on here. There's more free agents. I just listed the ones that matter. There's a lot of guys that are predominantly special teams guys kind of deal that obviously will be someone that they need to make decisions on. But these are the ones that matter, right? Who are the guys on this list that the Texans just can't let walk? And for me, I got three of them. And it has as much to do with the fact that those guys played well and they're at a position of need still to this day, right? I think number one for me is Eric Murray. You mentioned him.
Really? He's number one?
Ron, there are six total DBs that are free agents from the guys that were playing this year. I mean, with the exception of the two rookies and Derek Stingley, you got damn near everybody's a free agent.
Petrie.
Well, yeah. Nickel. I wouldn't include the nickel defenders, right? I'm sorry. You're right. Petrie's one of them. But, I mean, you're like Eric Murray is a guy that, I don't know that you go out and find two better than him, right? I mean, two guys better than him. And I admit, like you could do better on the front end. I like Eric Murray a lot, and I don't think he's irreplaceable. But boy, to think that you're going to lose six. There's six total DBs that were on this team and playing that are free agents right now, and Eric Murray being one of them. Like you're going to have to sign some guys back, and I think that list has to start with Eric Murray. I think in the secondary, particularly at the safety position, outside of Kalen Bullock, man, you need some dudes. You need to have at least
especially
three.
They're using Petrie as a
nickel defender, right? Yeah, you need three. And I think all in all, Eric Murray this year, being flexible and being able to drop down and play.
I know
some
they did
coverage.
Add another year to Jimmy Ward, so he's back there too.
Yeah, that's right. So you got Jimmy Ward.
He's coming off the broken foot.
Sure. But yeah, I think Eric Murray for me is one that I would love to see back. The other two can't let walk guys are Mario Edwards and Foley Fatakasi. I said this year, I still think, now these guys were significantly better. The interior defensive line as a whole was significantly better than I thought they were going to be. Tim Settle and Foley Fatakasi and Mario Edwards, that group right there was significantly better than I thought they were going to be. But I still believe that those guys can't be your frontline guys. Like I said before, like you can't have 72 and 93 in the game, which were third and fourth string defensive tackles in the game in the first drive against Baltimore, in the first drive, against Kansas City. No disrespect to those guys. They played well, but I mean, to me, you've got to have guys in there. If this defense is going to take the next step, you got to retain these two guys, Mario Edwards and Foley Fatakasi. You got to bring them back. And then you've got to bring in at least one more guy that headlines that D-line room if you want to take the next step on this defense. So not that these guys are, again, irreplaceable, but they are unbelievable depth and unbelievable 2-3 in the D-tackle rotation if you bring in somebody or draft a big-time interior defensive presence I think these guys are great fits. So to me, it's those three that are at the top of the list of you got to bring back.
Text line coming through. Murray is absolutely, in all caps, the priority with Petrie, who can't cover, and Ward, who is always injured. Resign all the D linemen. Everyone else is expendable. The D line one is interesting to me because, like, I was impressed Foley was really good in the run game for this team when he was healthy.
When he was healthy, yeah.
But at some point, and I agree with you, whether that's going to be someone you build up in the next couple of years, whatever it is, at some point you have to get either someone who is ready right now with a talent that is an above average defensive lineman who can get pressure on the quarterback from the interior spot, or at least draft somebody that you think is going to grow into that. They have to get, as you said, I think you're right, I think they have a bunch of, you know, average guys right there, average rotational guys, and not the dude that can be a big time game changer.
Right, at the D tackle position, if you're going to rotate guys the way they do, you got to at the very least have four Foley Fatakassis. Right, your rotation can't drop off significantly if Tim Settle and Foley Fatakassi aren't there. Right, I mean, it
dropped so much that Tim Settle wasn't playing it in 72, whose name I will learn, but 72, he was jumping in a lot more than
yeah, and tip the cap, man. I mean, it's Tommy Toja, I believe, but they at the end of the day, like, again, if you're not going to be have a more like that front line, you have one dude up there, it's just an absolute monster, and everybody kind of plays off of him. If you're not going to have that guy, and it's going to be more about keeping four guys, five guys fresh and rolling them through there, that four or five guy rotation has to be full of Foley Fatakassis, full of Tim Settles, right?
Somebody at least like Ed Oliver, like obviously, you know Chris Jones and those guys, and Jalen Carter, who's really, really, I mean, you start looking at the teams that were left, that all had them. Jonathan Allen is a big guy in the middle for Washington. So at least somebody that gets there, not just somebody that's not just a rotational piece there for him. All right, coming up, we've got news. We've got news on something that we talked about that was a big story for us last week. We've got an update on it. We'll discuss that coming up.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. We talked about this last week, and it damn near got away from Clint. And it damn near got away from me, too. The partnership. And it was supposed to be announced on January 31st. And I we'll see. This is... I don't know how real this is, but it looks real. And we may get more of this, but we talked about last week, there's a collaboration going on, Clint, between Popeye's Chicken and that Don Julio. That Don Julio and Popeye's. And we tried to sit here and figure it out. Maybe it's a dipping sauce. Maybe it's something with them wings. Maybe it's something else. We didn't know.
Dipping sauce was a good guess.
Do you see it?
I haven't looked. I know there's a graphic in there. I've not looked at it.
There's a graphic. I put it in the doc. And it looks like this might be. And Clint, you said there's we're probably going to be there for it. And it does look like this is happening in New Orleans for the upcoming Super Bowl. Limited edition menu in select U.S. restaurants landing in New Orleans, Louisiana, home of Popeyes for the big game. I just retweeted it as well. It looks like they got a collab here, Clint. You want to go ahead and read these off? Because this collab, because Reposado, I don't want to take that away. I know that's one that you love. But they got three. It's a deal here, Tyler, they got three menu items. And like I said, we'll see how real this is. The 31st, they had a video out, Popeyes and Don Julio. saying they were going to announce what they were going to do on the 31st, this partnership, this collab. Go ahead, Clint.
I'm going to cheat. I'm just going to tell you, I am very committed. I am very committed to Popeyes.
You going to cheat?
I'm cheating. I mean, there is no straying for me.
I'm fired up about this.
I strayed for the chicken sandwich one time when it was hot back in the day. I am a 3 or 5 piece, one of the two, spicy, all drums, large red beans and rice. Sweet tea, large sweet tea. That's it. I can't go to Popeyes and not get that. Now, I may add something if I'm really feeling frisky, but that's it. This going to make me cheat. Reposado-flavored Louisiana garlic three-piece wings with specialty sauce. Reposado, by the way, being...
What is that going to taste like?
Sounds zesty.
Reposado is typically a little bit sweeter. That's aged a little bit longer. It's a little bit sweeter. Than the tequila that most people out there typically shoot. So you got to get beyond that. All my folks that have been sick off tequila shots in their
Louisiana
teams.
Garlic.
Yeah, and then a reposado flavored chicken sandwich, and I don't have that roll. I don't know what that
What's
kind of roll
concha?
That is.
Concha,
it's something like that roll. I don't know the roll, but. A reposado flavored chicken sandwich sounds.
So is that when it says the
well.
Roll, like it's the flavor is coming in the roll? They're gonna mix.
I guess
the reposado.
I don't
in
think
the,
they're talking
I don't
sushi.
Know. I don't know. And then there's a spicy strawberry hibiscus flavored lemonade mocktail. I believe you should bring you a bottle of Don Julio and go ahead and just
pour
mix
it in
that.
There.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That was ahead, not what I was thinking.
Sounds like you boys got a meal planned already waiting for you.
Yeah. This is worth it. I bet Don Julio. We got to find out who Don Julio and Popeyes. We got to find out who they are major sponsors for, or if they're having their own Super Bowl party, and I got to try to pull some former player strings and see if I can't get us in.
I'm
that
gonna
joint.
Be right there next to you.
Absolutely,
so many good meats. Do you like the combo signage? What the hell am I looking for?
Logo. Absolutely, the rooster the Popeye's chicken behind the DJ. The
you like
the Don Julio lettering? Absolutely, that is tremendous.
Yeah, that is some them wings. They got my. I mean, they got with that black and ranch dip. They got.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
Them wings.
I am very intrigued.
Are you gonna try to limit my ass to a 3-piece?
No, I imagine they'll get.
I need 6.
I'm gonna go ahead and now at the party. If we get into the party, you can't demand 6. You get 3, Ron.
Now they're sending sweet tickets for the Texans game.
Hey. No. See y'all again. You don't know what you gonna get until you. Open up your mouth. Closed mouths don't get fed. Wait, now you be over there pissed with your 3 and say, "Damn, you done got,
I ain't got enough.
You done got 6." Yeah. And I'll try to get my 6 to get it all the way down to 3. How about 5?
I'll probably get 3 and take 1 right. to go.
Hey, just throw. Come on, D'Amico, throw me a 4.
Can I be honest on this Popeyes topic though?
Please do.
After giving Tyler so much hell about his tender eating ass.
Oh, you're liking it in the tender.
I'm gonna be honest with you. When I go 3 or 5 piece all drum spicy, I need to be at the house. I need to be somewhere I can sit down.
You go right? all drums, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, most of the time I'm eating on the run. I'm not waiting until I get home to eat. So it's got to be something I can feed. But like, I got to be able to sit down and work, right? So when I'm driving like long, going home, going like driving long distance, I used to stop in Little Rock all the time and then I'd turn around, mess around, stop halfway too again. It was unbelievable. But I'm going to be honest with you. They're spicy tenders. They're spicy strips. I can't remember what they call them. I think they call them tenders.
I get the spicy tenders.
Hey, man. Dipping in that. You said that black and ranch.
Ooh.
Hey, man.
I've spilled some black and ranch on my thigh many a time trying to negotiate.
Strain your neck trying to get down there licking.
No, I'm talking about driving. Trying to dip that bad boy in there and then don't throw the inside of my leg.
I typically do the jalapeno with the drum. Like if you get the real chicken, bone in chicken, I'm doing a jalapeno with that.
Hey,
man.
The hibiscus if you get some Don Julio, that one I am.
So many. Am
there's a lot going on there. I'm not that pink fruity drink definitely has got show written all over it.
That is.
I'm not a big. I mean, it, not because they don't taste good, but just because they're full of sugar, and typically I would drink too many of them, so I don't
like them spicy drinks.
Text line coming through. going to make me drive 8 hours. That conca bread is a Mexican sweet bread. I'm yeah. sure. Is it concha or is it conca?
You got me.
It's a Mexican sweet bread. For coffee, looks like seashell. Yeah, that no, that that that
it does look like a seashell.
I can never pronounce it right, but it's definitely sold like in the Fiesta food stores. They sell them in like their pastry fresh bake department. Yeah. They look pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Text line, call me out, boys. Tequila and chicken ain't doing it for me. Popeyes ain't coming up.
What?
Easy either. Yeah, no, man. Well, I'm in this, man.
Look, I'm gonna tell you here. I'll be real. It's either gonna be really good or awful.
I'm willing to try it.
Absolutely. 100%. I mean, anything with Popeyes on it and Don Julio on it, I'm willing to try. I absolutely.
This might be even better than the KFC famous.
Like, if they overdo the reposado, if they overdo the tequila flavor, as much as I like tequila, it's going to be hard for me to stomach. I ain't going to lie to you. But if it's just a hint.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They got to make that right. Because I can, in my mind, that reposado with that Louisiana garlic, that like, if that isn't overpowered, that could... That could be nice with that blackened ranch. Okay, wait for this.
Yeah, I'm jealous. That's gonna be good.
Any chance they're bringing that thing around Radio Row? That'd be nice. They were just walking around Radio Row with it. Here, have some. That'd be nice with it. I want the hat. I want a hat of this logo.
That logo on it.
Hat. I want a hat.
I'm telling you, like I'm serious. I know we driving. I may have to go and scoop up some Don Julio just for. Just to mix already for that spicy strawberry hibiscus.
Hey, get the good stuff now.
That looks tasty, man.
I'm going to get the good stuff. I'm just going to get a deal.
What a collab.
You got to, hey, I'm serious, man. You got to stop this this KFC famous bowl thing.
Dude, I'm telling you, they're good.
Yeah, it's disrespectful.
Never had a bad one.
If I'm being honest, it's disrespectful.
You just keep parachuting in and getting out. You keep parachuting in and then jumping out.
Mashed taters.
I'm trying to.
Brown
I'm trying to
gravy,
ignore it.
Some corn, some chicken bites. Mix that thing up.
Ooh. Yeah, that's
delicious.
That's going to be tasty. That's going to be like, I mean, that. But that's the genius of this. Like Clint said, I don't know if this is going to be good, but damn, if this ain't like intriguing.
Oh, 100%.
Like, if this isn't intriguing and I
want to know more than anything, just like exactly what that flavor tastes like.
How long you think they've been? Because you know the Super Bowl is coming to New Orleans. I wonder how long they've been at this. They have thought this up. This is genius.
I'm going to be honest with you with there. Speaking of my drum eating, I don't like the chicken that they used. I'm not very turned on by the chicken picture that they used.
You want legs.
I want it to look like Popeye's crispy, spicy egg.
Oh, yeah. But
spicy
that's,
chicken.
It is a little saucy. That is a little saucy, which I like. I like a little saucy. I want to see what this going to dance.
Give me a drum or a thigh.
You are going to have to give us a detailed report whenever you come back.
You want that thigh dipped into that that flavored sauce?
It's something. If you can dip that damn flapper right there in there, that thing takes two left turns. You can damn sure get a thigh in there.
Oh my God! All right, what you got coming up at the 4?
We got a huge contest going on here at Sports Radio 610. An absolutely huge contest. You can win a all expense paid, not all expense, but travel round travel and lodging and huge money by doing one thing right here on Sports Radio 610. I'll tell you what that is. We'll explain the details, and I got a Pat Mahomes stat for you, whether you love or hate the guy. This is absolutely ridiculous. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Bundle Rooski, Bundle Rooski.